Blog Talk Radio.
Grand risings, love. Listen, it is that time of the month. It's my favorite month. It's my soul month, my soul of return month. So y'all got to get excited with me, please, please, please. Because it's your girl's birthday month. Good morning. Listen, when I look back over this year, I see all the things that God has done in my life, for my life, with my life, and I am emotional this morning. I'm so emotional because I know just how loved I am by God. You know, and so I'm excited. My birthday is coming. It's not today. It's in a few days, in 7 days. And so I'm excited. Like, all these perfect things coming together in combination just for me because God loves me just that much. So, y'all, forgive me just a little bit. Forgive me just a little bit for being hyper. Amen. Well, welcome, 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 loved ones. This is a Faith Walk, and I am your host, Sister Faith. I am so excited about what God is doing in my life, what he's doing with those around me, how he's moving pieces around and changing things. But before I get too ahead of myself, let's start with prayer, because this whole program is about prayer and the power of prayer. And so let me pray, and then we have more to talk about. Amen. So, Mother, Father, God, we thank you for a new day. Oh, we thank you for health and strength. We thank you for a heart chasing after you to get up and turn on a program just to talk about you, oh, God. Lord, you know that we are chasing after you. We want you to be the light in our lives, the head of our lives, and even when we stumble and fall, even when our stuff is not perfect, oh God, you have been good to us. You still grant us with the ability to breathe. You still give us hearts that tick right on time. 90% of us can still walk, oh God. We still work. Lord, you bless us in so many ways, and we want to say thank you this morning, oh God. We ask that your spirit and your energy fill this space, that you go out in the airwaves and that you shake up something new and spark hearts to chase after you in a new way today, oh God. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise, and we say amen. Listen, I'm telling you, it's that type of morning. It is definitely that type of morning. Like, I don't woke up, like, I don't know how many times I woke up last night. This morning I woke up, then I went back to sleep. God gave me some dreams, and I was like, ooh, that's scary. But being scared and full of fear are two different things. See, scared says, oh, I am shaky, but fear says, I can't go. That's just too much. But fear says, I'm shaky in that direction, but I'm still willing to try, right? So let's get to it. You know, it's December. Next month is January. And it's a whole new year according to our calendars that we go by, right? Even though, you know, I'm not going to get into that this morning. However, this is the time that we start dreaming our dreams and making our plans. We don't wait to January to put forth all of these ideas of how we're going to reconcile our lives and get better, and what do they call it? Anyway, you know what I mean. You probably don't. I don't know. I can't think of the word. It's going to come to me. Where we plan, we make all these goals, and we say we're not going to. Good grief. It's right there in the tip of my tongue. But it's going to come to me. And we do this every January. We do it like a couple of days before January. And we write these things down. Well, Do we really? We say these things. New Year's resolutions. Thank you, Most High God. I knew it was in there somewhere. You know, I'd be looking stuff in my head. New Year's resolutions. And the New Year's resolutions, and we start right at the end of the month, but I need you to look at this differently. Why not make 2024 something new? Why not go into it before, like already prepared? Why don't we start dealing with what we really want now? I say that because for the last several years, I've been asked the same question. What do you want? Yeah. And I say stuff like, I want to be protected. I want my children to be safe. I want, you know, to have a good job. I want, and all those things, the spirit is like, oh, that's cute. That's really cute. Oh, yeah, okay, you were getting that anyway, you know, but that's what you really want, and we'll go with it. You know, I want good health. I want my children, my family, my husband, my spouse. I want, you know, all these little things that I'm not saying don't mean anything, but they, in the scheme of, in the large scheme of things, when we're talking about getting into our purpose, right, they don't, they're not, and that's not the most important thing, because these are the things that we pray every day. Lord, protect us as we leave the house, protect my children as they go to school, protect my spouse as he's on the road. You know what I mean? Please, Lord, don't let these people at this job get on my nerves too much, and then I lose control. All those are prayers we pray every day, right? But what about what you really want? You know those dreams, you know. You want to be a business owner. You want to be an entrepreneur. You want to be a speaker. You want to share information. You want to find your soul tribe. You want, like, these things that make a huge difference. You want to be blessed to be a blessing. So how do you be blessed to be a blessing? And what does those blessings that you are trying to share with others look like? You know what I mean? Like, start thinking about that now. Start thinking about that now. Your dreams, and how do we achieve them? You know, it's so important. It's like a drink of fresh water. You know, I have some dreams. I have some stuff I'm going to share next month. But the dreams and the plans start now. They don't start at the end of the month. They start now. They start actually last month. And my mind started leaning towards these things. And so I was praying about it. And, you know, all these other stuff, other things come up. And I have had to deal with it, right? Like, we can't just let the stuff come up and we don't do anything with it, because then it settles right back down into your spirit. And so we don't have time to let stuff that is not serving us settle into our spirit. And so I was looking at, you know, I could say, oh, well, Spirit was like, oh, Rebecca, soon to, you know, write the vision and make it plain, write it large so it can be seen while you're running, right? But I need to write the vision. You got to write it down. And this is why Spirit was like, yeah, but you got to say this anyway. If I'm speaking too fast, please forgive me. I'm so excited this morning. I'm so excited. And so you got to write it down. You got to write it down. And then Spirit said, well, I want you to remember this. And so I went to Psalm 37. And listen, we will probably not get through this today. Okay, we will not get through this today. I'm not even going to play with you. I ain't going to hold you, because this is a long scripture. It's a little scripture that I found. It's a little scripture that I heard since I was a teenager. My father and my stepmother would quote it all the time, and they didn't quote the same part. That was a crazy thing to me when I went back through this again, and I was like, oh, Nelly used to say this all the time. And then I was like, well, my dad always said this part. But they were quoting from the same place. They were in the same energy, the same vibration. And I think before I get into reading, I do want to say, I'm going to read the scripture and we'll start talking about it. But this is not a one-woman show. You know what I mean? I need you all to press that number one, get in the queue, and let's talk about it. Because at the end of the day, this is about us connecting. We are connecting to each other on First Sundays. First Sundays is about making sure that we are connecting with like minds, bodies, and spirits, and making sure that we are on one accord, okay? So press one if you have a question, comment, or anything you'd like to add. Amen. All right, so I'm going to read from the King James Version because I don't have my glasses at hand. I have no clue what they are, honestly. I cannot read from my actual books. I have to read it from digital space. And so I'm in Psalms 37, and I'm going to start at verse 1. And I'm going to try to get to at least the second one that my father always quotes. It says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither, as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy ways unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off. For those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, for thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." Wait a minute now. Let me just say one more thing. "The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. However, the Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bow shall be broken. A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke, shall they consume away. The wicked borrows and pay not again, but the righteous sows mercy and gives. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and delighteth in his way. Though he shall fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loves just judgment and forsakes not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell there within forever. The mouth of righteousness speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay leaf, bay tree, excuse me. Yet he passes away, and lo, he was not, yea. I sought him, but he was not to be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in a time of trouble. And the Lord shall help him and deliver him. And he shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Listen, may the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Yeah, I went to church on y'all. I'm going to tell you one thing. For it to start off saying to you not to worry. Don't worry about what anybody else is doing. Don't worry about the person who's talking about you. Don't worry about the person who's coming after you, who always got something negative to say, who's frowning on your dreams, who is speaking against, who is setting up traps for you. Don't worry about them. Don't worry yourself with them. Don't worry about the envious people that work against you. Don't worry about them. See, because envy doesn't get them anywhere. It's not going to get them. He said, because they soon be cut off. Don't worry about them. Like he go mow the lawn on it, and they just go die. There'll be no more use for them unless you know how to use herbs properly to cook with, you know. Anyway, neither here nor there. It said, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thy soul shall be fed. Listen. Trust in the Lord and do good. We all know what is good and what is not so good. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that sometimes we see something that we feel is bad. You know, this was bad. But you got to remember that we live in a universe where balance exists. So if you can stay in the light, if you can stay on the positive side, because if you ever saw the yin and the yang sign, and the yin on the dark side has this white circle, and then the white side has this dark circle, it means that even in the darkest thing, there's a little bit of light. And even in the brightest thing, there's a little bit of darkness in there. You want to stay in the light as much as possible. In the light is where spirit resides. In the light is where your blessings are. In the light, stay in the most positive energy that you could possibly be in. You know, without that light, without that energy, you may find yourself lost in the sauce, and it's easy to get slipped into the darkness from that space. So you want to do what is good. Do what that is light led. Do what in your heart you know what that is. You know what I mean? Like, you don't need somebody to tell you, yes, it's good to feed the homeless. Yeah, it is good to feed the homeless. Are you feeding the homeless wholesome, healthy food? Are you feeding them your leftovers that are 3 or 4 days old that you don't want no more? See, there's a difference in that. Is that really good? Are you giving them, are you opening them up to the opportunity of getting sick? You know, because you're only supposed to keep your leftovers for 3 days, people. 3 days. Shouldn't eat them after that. Sorry, that's the nurse in me. He said, then he goes on, he says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Oh, no, I think that's it. Sorry, yeah. No, I did. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of thine heart. My stepmother told me this scripture, this is one verse, for years, she, like, in everything that I said, anything that I wanted to do, anything that I was talking about, she would use this scripture and say, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. I could hear her, I could see her shake her head and everything. Commit thy way unto the Lord and trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And she would just be walking around the house cleaning or doing whatever, messing with her plants or whatever, but it was like the first thought, and it wasn't a second. You know what I mean? Like, when you start walking closer to God, when you're really seeking after which is good and righteous and right for your life, when you start letting go of the people, places, and things, and that doesn't always mean that the negative people, places, and things. Sometimes these people, places, and things, they just as positive, but now if you have outgrown it, and it's no longer serving you. And so even in there, you have to be willing to say, Lord, I delight myself in you, and I have to walk away from all of the other things that is going to distract me from my destiny, from my path, and where you would have me to be, right? And so he said, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. I know this. I know this for myself. I can go back over my life from my early 20s, and I pray to God, ask God for something, and waited on God. I learned young to wait on God, and God blessed me with the desire of my heart. I did it again in my 30s. I did it a few times in my 30s and a few times since I've been in my 40s. And I'm closer to my 50s, but I got another year, so don't rush me. But when I think about it, and I think about all the times that I did this, I practiced it, I gave it a wholehearted attempt to just delight myself in the Lord, do what was good, stay righteous and holy, pray, walk according to the will. Doesn't mean I was perfect, because perfection is in the eye of the beholder. People want to give you a label of perfection of what walking like perfectly looks like. But the reality of it is that we are all here to have our own experiences. He said, but commit thy way unto the Lord. So everything that we do, we want God to be able to be pleased with it. We don't want God to be looking at us like, this heifer here, let me tell you about her. You don't want that energy. You want your way, what you do, the energy that you give off, to be the most positive towards God. You know, to God, not just God, but God's people, you know. Let your energy towards God's people be right. Don't be fake and phony with them. Don't lie to them. Don't manipulate them. Don't mistreat God's children. Like, they feel it. You ever seen a child who won't go to an adult, and you don't know why? But we all know that this adult is real stern, or they could be a little, they don't really like kids, but, you know, they trying to be around your kid. Listen, the child knows. The child doesn't have to be told this person doesn't like children. The child doesn't have to be told that that energy ain't right. They see it. They see it from the gate. They, I don't go over there. No, hug her. I don't want to hug her. Hug him. Why would I do that? I do not want that on me. The innocence of a child sees that. And so, you know, when we can operate from that energy and knowing that we have to treat each other properly. We have to treat each other right. We have to be mindful of how we speak to people, how we convey messages, or how we share our time all come together. He said, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. You know, I grew up in New York City, and I remember the poor righteous teachers. We called them poor righteous teachers. The brothers that were standing in the corners, and they'd be trying to share information. Like, yo, you let that stuff go, you know, don't get caught up in that, young girl, don't let nobody get in, you know. They will always speak to you. And I remember them, I remember some adults in my life being like, stay away from them, they crazy, or they ain't righteous, you know. But I could see the righteousness in them. I could see how they would, you would think that they was there begging for money or looking for donations. They didn't want any. I seen them give. I seen them standing there and teaching with nothing in return was the most righteous thing I had ever seen in my life. So you couldn't tell me that they were crazy, because what they were saying was of God, and it was right. As a small child, I remember that. Even as an adult, we have a poor righteous teacher that lives over here, that is here in Charlotte, and he stands on the corner, and when you don't see him, you're looking for him, you know. And he's never asking for anything. People might give him money sometimes, but he's never asking. He's never, you know, saying, give this to me. He's just standing there doing what God is calling him to do. And his righteousness shows on him, you know. His righteousness pours off of him. And I could see, I understand this in a more practical way, in a plain way, that it's like the noonday. You look for that light. People start to look for your light. They look for you because of your righteousness. He said, but let's move on. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. Because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass, you know, you gotta know who you belong to. You gotta know who you belong to. You gotta know that you belong to God, and you can rest there. Even when people are doing stuff to you, don't worry about it. Even when your name is being dragged through the mud, don't worry about it. God watches it all. You know, because they seem to be getting over and increasing, they have everything that you've been praying about, and you don't understand, well, Lord, I've been doing what was right. How come I can't get this storefront? Lord, I've been doing what was right. How come I didn't get the house that I wanted? Lord, I've been doing what was right. Why did I get passed over for that job? And you say, and then look at this fool. You know, they cuss and fuss. They drink and smoke. They cheat on their spouse. They doing all this stuff. They beating their women. They beating their children. They don't take care of their household well. You know, they don't clean it. They don't bring the money home. Whatever, man, woman. I'm just making it interchangeable. And it seems like every time you turn around, they're getting something else that, you know, they blessed again. Like, what's up with that? But God said, don't get worried with that. Don't worry yourself about that. It's not even for you to worry. It's not even for you to worry. Don't worry about what they got going on. There's a reason for it. And he said, but in the meantime, I need you to stop being angry. He said, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. He says, being angry. Oh, let me tell you something, let me tell you that right there. I'm going to tell you personally. 2 years ago, my dad passed away. This day in particular, today is 2-year anniversary to the very first Faith Walk program. 2 years ago, my dad passed away, and I have several sisters. And this episode of my life was terrible. I basically was left to do a lot of things on my own. I'm the youngest child, so, you know, I was confused. I was upset about this thing. I didn't realize how angry I was until earlier in mid-November. I realized how angry I was. And I was working with my ancestors, and they was troubling, when I say troubling my spirit, you need to call your sister. And I was like, spirit, ancestors, all y'all, I ain't doing it. And it was like, yes, you will. Today is the day. Pick up the phone and make the phone call. And I was like, but I don't want to do it. I'm still mad about it. And it was like, we don't care. Today is the day. Today is the day. And I am so grateful that I was able to let go of my anger just enough. I just had to let go of a little bit for the rest of it to be snatched, for the rest of the anger to be removed from me, so that spirit would know, that spirit could move and heal the situation, right? He said, so we have to understand that when we walk away from certain situations and we feel some type of way on the inside, that anger is not necessarily righteous. Sometimes we get so self-righteous, we get so full of ourselves that we forget that we are not in control of everything. Some things are outside of our control, and that anger keeps us from being able to achieve that which we desire to achieve, right? And he said, but stop being angry, cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Don't go doing nothing crazy. You don't need to bust nobody's window out their car. You don't need to cuss them all out. You don't need to jump in nobody's face and get them told. You don't have to do any of that. You don't have to withdraw all the money from the bank account and leave the house with nothing but a chair and a note. You don't have to do none of that. You don't have to. Don't let your anger and your wrath, see, because this is different wrath from what God's wrath looks like. Don't let your wrath, your anger, overpower you to the point that you do wrong. He said, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Don't worry yourself with anything that is messed up that you could think of to do. Please believe me. And I got an example. When my oldest daughter, her father and I broke up, well, we was breaking up, and I didn't know that we were breaking up. That's the most interesting part. I didn't know that we were breaking up. And I find out that he was seeing another woman. He was seeing another woman, and he not only still seeing another woman, but he had another child on me. And I remember sitting, I had a plan in my mind. I was going to kill this man that day. I was going to drive 13 hours, lower him out, push him off a cliff, and then drive back. See, but then I was sitting there, honest to God's truth, I don't have anything to hide. You know, I didn't do it so I can't go to jail. It was just a thought. It was a lot of thought. It was a real plan. But anyway, I sat there and I thought about how I could lower him off of the military base that he was on without anybody knowing that he was coming to see me, right? I really thought this thing out, and I was sitting there and I'm thinking about it, and I started praying, and I said, Lord, you know, I'm mad, this ain't right, and on. And this stranger walks up to me. He said, Faith, I need you to let go of that whole idea. He knew my name. See, when you are chasing after God and you're willing to lean on what God says, he will even send an angel in the flesh to come speak to you. This man, I had never seen the man a day in my life, and I never saw him again. I lived in that city for 20 years. I never saw him a day in my life, and I never saw him again. But that day, God used him to say, hey, don't do that. That's too much. little dumpling. We're not going to do that. But there's victory in this story. It's because if we go back to the scripture, the next scripture says, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. When I tell you that I'm so glad I did not do it, I did not go through it and say, ignore this angel of God. He had on all white, too. When I tell you that I've had some experiences, I've had. And when I walked away from him and I didn't, my life started to change. I went back to school and went to nursing school. I had a good job and got a promotion. I had moved out of my parents' house again because I was staying with them when I first got out of the military, and I got my own space again. Like, my life started to prosper because I let it go. I just moved on. I walked away. I said, well, you know what, Lord? If you're saying to me I can't go kill him, because that was the best option for me at the time, if you're saying to me I can't kill him, then I won't. I won't. I'm going to just focus on me. I'm going to focus on my future. I'm going to focus on this child. I'm going to focus on what is right. And when I say that inheriting the earth, inheriting the things that you desire, the things that you deserve, the joy, the peace, the love, the happiness, all those things are part of inheriting the earth, not just the physical manifestation of things, not just tangible objects. He said, for yet in a little while the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. Just in this situation alone, I could talk about that for a little while. You know, it didn't take long for me to get over him. It didn't take, in the back of my mind, it was still kind of like, dang, that was messed up. But I love him, Lord. And Lord was like, yeah, okay, you keep loving him, whatever, right? But in a little while, I was able to move on. And he wasn't no more a part of my life. And I say wicked, he was wicked, because in order to take a person and create a family with them and then just move on without letting them know, that's wicked. I don't care what nobody say. You know, but then when you go back and I considered, where does he belong in my life? He don't. He don't belong in your life. And he just not. He said, but the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. See, I don't like the definition of the word humble at all, because I only lower myself to God, right? But being meek does not make you lower than anyone. Being meek does not make you it doesn't make you so nice that you let anything happen to you. being meek, we could talk about it. We could have a conversation, you know. Oh, okay, well, I'm going to let you go ahead and have that, you know. Oh, okay, I see your insult, but, you know, I'm not going to make it mean anything. I see you're dealing with your own insecurities, and that's you. Being meek is beautiful. I have to work I work on being meek, you know. And sometimes people look at me like, you ain't meek. Yes, compared to what it could be, I am meek. You know, I am meek. But I understand the meekness, because there's nothing better than my peace. Oh, don't come disturbing my peace. Listen. I have the most peaceful house on earth, I believe. There's no argument in my house. There's no fussing and fighting. Nobody's throwing stuff. Even these kids, when they get to bickering, I'm like, all right. And it stops immediately. Peace means everything to me. Peace is my joyful place. And so if you ever see me out and I'm just sitting there and I might be rocking or I'm looking off into space, it's because I have honed in on my peaceful place. I honed in on this little piece that I'm going to hold and keep around me. It's not me ignoring anybody. It's not me being too good to speak or any of those things. It's me just sitting in my peace. I love it. It's my favorite place to be, like I said. He said, but the wicked plots against the just and gnash upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he sees that his day is coming. You know, when people come at you sideways, when people come at you sideways, they got a whole group, they get a whole group of people together and they all coming at you sideways and they attacking you with their words. They attacking you and I love the ones that attack you but try to hide their hand like it wasn't an attack. It was just, you know, I was just making a comment. I was making an observation. Those, God already knows about this. And God, this makes God chuckle because, like, you think I ain't see that, little knucklehead? He said, for he has seen this day. I knew it was coming. I knew they were getting ready to come at you. And so I was trying to prepare you, baby. I've been trying to prepare you for this day that they go come at you because you got less than them. You're not asking for much. Or I have blessed you with, and they think that you have too much. It's crazy. People are really outrageous. People in that low vibrating energy is dangerous. But you got to know to whom you belong. I'm going to skip down a little bit because of time's sake. Okay. All right. So I'm going to get down. He says, the wicked borrows and paid not again, but the righteous soweth mercy and gives. You know, we've all lent somebody money and they never came back. My father used to say this, you know, if I lend you something and you don't pay me back, you got bad credit with me now. Don't come back here because I'm going to tell you no each and every time, right? But the righteous is the ones who usually are the ones who are giving. They give up the time, the energy, the resources. And I think it's ignored a lot of the time when the righteous are doing these acts. It's not really appreciated as much as it should be. When people sacrifice their personal time, when they sacrifice the resources that should be going to something else in their life or could be going to something else that they need, but they are sacrificing and giving, I think that sometimes it's not appreciated properly. But he says, for such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they shall be cursed of him that should be cut off. So those people who take from you and don't pay, you know, now think about it. I got a debt to pay. I forgot. And that's different of I forgot to pay a debt. Oh, now I remember I'm going to pay it versus I ain't giving them nothing. That's two different attitudes. That's two different wavelengths. I may have forgotten, but as soon as it comes to my memory and I straighten it out, it's different from, oh, you ain't never getting it. I had no intention. And I've had people do that, both sides. He said, but the one who is the giver, the one who shows mercy and gives and is righteous in their heart, they shall be blessed. They're going to get more. It'll be added back unto you. That person who is, you know, sacrificing time, energy, resources, you'll get it back. Don't worry about that. Don't let it, you know, even though I faith have an issue with it. Faith, your issue doesn't matter because you're going to get it back. That righteous person is going to get it back. I've seen it. You know, I lived and I thrived in leadership areas. I've always seen leadership in spirituality, whether it be the church or any other organization. I've always been close to leadership and got to see the inner workings of things. And so, you know, I've seen people misuse the man and woman of God. I've seen people, I watched it and I was like, oh, that's just wrong. But I also seen the man and woman of God get blessed beyond measure. So that's the exciting part of it. And he said, this is the part my dad used to say, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. My dad would say this all the time. All the time. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. God is seeing spirit, whatever you want to call, I don't know. You know, this is not a religious thing. I use this text because it's one of the bases. Like, if I use other information, would so many people really be able to hear it? This is the text that for the last 300-400 years has been the main text pushed. And so in the last 200 years, this is what the first text that a lot of our ancestors learned to read. And so I use this text because it speaks to something in your spirit, not because I'm limited in it, but because this is the text that speaks to most spirits, the most spirits here in the U.S. I don't know if there's people out there further than the U.S. listening to me, but if you are, welcome, 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 and I hope you enjoy the faith walk. He said, you know, when you think about that, he said, though he may fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. To know that even when you make mistakes, even when you stumble, and even when you fall, even when there are times that you have failure in your life, even when there's times that there are things that may not be perfect or the way we claim that it should be, because these are all ideas of other men about what should and shouldn't be. God is already there. He's going to catch you. He's going to lift you back up. Don't fret over that. Don't fret over those things, but know that the Lord is, your steps are ordered, and even when you fall, those moments, those times, that was a part of the plan. And sometimes we have to fall. Sometimes we have to fall in order to learn the lesson so that we can get back up and try again. He said, I've been old and I have been young and now I am old. And this is another one that my dad liked to quote. I have been young and now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. That speaks for itself. Because what I want to say about this, what Faith wants to say about this, is really, really, let me just say this. Lord, give me the right words, please. There's so many people walking around saying that they're so righteous. They're righteous, they're holy, they're upright. They wear an air of righteousness. They wear a cloak of righteousness. They walk into rooms and they puff their chest up and they look their nose down at others. And they don't have food to eat. There's nothing to eat in their house. That's so simple. That says so much more to me about a person. Then they know. See, because they're so busy worrying about looking the part that they're not taking care of the responsibilities. So how righteous are we? And I'm not saying that there's not hard times or people may need some, you know, some assistance. There's a difference between assistance and needing to beg for bread. There's a difference. Because God's people, if a righteous person is hungry and they say, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to do it, somebody shows up on their doorstep with bags of food. And I've been looking at people on the roads and on these streets all over the country. I've been a couple of places this year. I've been down to South Carolina. I've been to Georgia a couple of times. I've been to Alabama. And I'm watching these people stand on the side of the roads with these signs begging for money, food, work. And I wonder about that because that's a very evident expression of this scripture. Some of these people, it may be a hustle. Other people are really hungry. And I'm concerned about that because how those numbers have grown exponentially from the time of my childhood to my full-grown adulthood and seeing all these people standing and asking for help because they have nothing. We need a revival in the world. He said he is ever merciful and lendeth his seed is blessed. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is ever blessed. Teach your children to be charitable. Be charitable yourself. Teach your children to be charitable. I know that before I go, I'm gonna close it out shortly. But a wonderful approach is currently doing a food drive for the Haitian children. Listen, I have been a part of these types of drives for years. When I was a part of another organization, they would send the missionaries with food. They didn't go with just money. They just like a wonderful approach, they sent food. They brought resources to the people because these people are in need. These people are in need. These children, they have this thing called, like, it's called a dirt, a cookie. It's made of dirt and very little flour or cornstarch or something. But it's so important. So if you take the time out to go to a wonderful approach.com, and Mama 7 and her organization is working on this. And so if you would be so inclined, be a blessing, be charitable, you know, help these children, help the less fortunate. Go to your soup kitchens, help, give to the pantries when your jobs are doing food drives. Give, you know. This year I keep forgetting to do stuff, then and this and that, but it's not abnormal for me. You know, I know what it is to go out and feed the homeless. I know what it is to give. I know what it is to take the time out to be a blessing to those who are less fortunate. Be charitable. You know, God is looking at you, not necessarily at them. Well, I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up here because there's so many more things. If you have time, please take the time. Read Psalm 37 for yourself. Read it for yourself. Read it for yourself. Don't ever take any scripture that I have shared as face value. It is important that you read it for yourself. Know it for yourself. Scripture says, study to show yourself approved, a workman worthy of God's honor. Read it for yourself. Don't let anybody give you something and you didn't go and investigate and research it for yourself. Amen. I'm going to wrap up, but I want to say this. Next month, we have some exciting things coming. There may be a huge announcement that I will make. I'm still praying on it. I'm still working on that plan and writing it down. And once I get there, once we get there, we'll be excited, and we'll see which way Spirit leads us. But in the meantime, my loves, I want to pray with you one more time, and I will see you soon. Please know that all good things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose and plan. Mother, Father, God, we thank you for all of your energy to say. I thank you for taking the time out to really show some stuff to me and remind me more of what you're doing in my life and how you work it out, reminding me of my parents' love for you. I thank you, Lord God, for every listening ear, every household that this may have played in. I thank you, oh God, for every person who is in attendance. I thank you for those who will listen at a later time. I ask that you will continue to pour out your blessing on your people, that you would continue to pour out ideas and give dreamers dreams, and those who would chase after, give the artist more art, give the singer more songs, give the writer more works, more words to write. Oh God, we ask that you will continue to be a blessing to your people as we attempt to bless you, oh God. That you think of us as much as we think of you, oh God. Let you be the thoughts, the first thoughts in our minds and the last at night, oh God. We thank you for all of your work and all of your love and all of your protection and all of your joy and all of your laughter and all of the experiences that you give us each day. Oh God, we ask that you will continue to keep, cover, and protect, that you will walk closely as we walk this faith walk. I give you all glory, all honor, and praise. Ashe.